Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
The youngin' in charge. The irresistible force and the immovable object going at it all the time.
Maddie's been in the production lab. Good afternoon, everybody. 3 minutes and change after 1 o'clock in the nation's capital and beyond on the always live and free Odyssey app. It is a throwdown Thursday with the youngest in charge, or the youngin' in charge, Linnell Willingham.
If it wasn't for Matt, my name, I barely would be on the show. Can't get my name on the
except
show.
Except for the 3 hours that you're actually talking.
It's the closest I can get. Matt, I appreciate you. What would I do without
except
you?
For the 3 hours that
someone's
you actually talk on
someone,
the show.
Someone's invested in my growth mm-hmm. and development.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I'm not.
At least someone in this room is.
I am the Messiah, Chris Russell.
I don't know about that.
I am the leader of the new school. I am the one.
Wait a second. You gotta roll it.
I mean, this is bad.
Gotta roll it back again.
I am the Messiah, Chris Russell.
I don't know about that.
Are my headphones distorted?
I am the leader of the new school. I am the one.
Oh, my God. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Yes. It is a throwdown Thursday in the DMV. A little rainy out there.
Wow.
A lot going on, including the Nationals trying to actually score a run for the first time in 3 years. And they are underway, or about to be underway, at Nationals Park against the Kansas City Royals. It is very overcast. Perhaps a light shower expected, but rain really less than 15%. And they should be able to get this one in. Today's game day weather will start here, is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. And while we're on that, certainly wish everybody in the Southeast well. Florida, I know the Bucks are dealing with a modified schedule. They're doing like a practice early in the morning and then virtual stuff after that so that their players can go home. There's mandatory evacuations throughout the west coast of Florida, specifically in Tampa, and so on and so forth. So I know our guy Ross in Tampa and who else in Tampa? We got a couple of guys in Tampa. Name is slipping my mind right now, and I should have had it up. Anyway, anybody that listens in the Tampa, and I guess even into the Orlando area, but up and down the west coast of Florida, or in the Panhandle, and that area, certainly we wish you the very best and safe, and just, you know, and be as safe and as diligent as you can. Listen to whatever orders there are, because as we have come to find out several times throughout the years, you do not want to mess around with Mother Nature. And with that, we begin the showgram on this Thursday. First of all, Liddell, how are you?
I'm good, man. Yeah? Another day removed from the big win.
Have you come down at all?
I've not. Every morning I wake up, I realize I have a franchise quarterback, so I feel things are a lot better in my life.
I think. Listen, when you phrase it that way, certainly. Again, I still think it's too early to crown anybody's ass. But,
he's him.
You know, the arrow is very favorably pointing up. You know, one thing I was thinking about on the way in, and I think I mentioned it yesterday. I can't remember if I did or if I thought about it and I didn't mention it. They're going to have a lot more primetime games coming up. And as soon as, like, this year. Like, this was their first Monday night football game outside of a preseason in, I think, a year and a half since they upset undefeated Philadelphia in mid-November 2022. Now Monday night football has late season flexibility as well as Sunday night football. I know Coach Sheehan has talked about this a couple of times, so I want to give him credit. Because he was trying to mock schedule and mock, you know, this team is going to play in a bunch of 425 windows later on this year. when they can start doing that, they are going to start. They are going to be flexed into a Sunday night game. They are going to be potentially flexed into a Monday night game. I don't know what all the rules, all the semantics are. I'm not going to waste anybody's time. This team is going to be in a lot of primetime games if the arrow continues to point up and if it doesn't fizzle out for Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels alone, make no mistake about it. I prefer to look at things as a team, right? And what you do as a team, not just an individual, not just a quarterback. But I'm not dumb. I understand that ESPN, NBC, NFL Network, whoever it is that are picking these games, care more about the quarterback and the excitement and the sizzle than they care about the steak, if that makes sense.
Of course. Of course. I don't see the – well, not that I don't see the issue. The only issue I would see, I would say, is the modified schedule and how that impacts what they do. And I'm glad that they're out in Arizona this week instead of being cheap and flying all the way back to Ashburn. I know a certain owner wouldn't have never done that. But, yeah, I'm prepared for it. You get annoyed by it. I guess I get annoyed by it too, because that means our in-game show runs late, and it makes for scheduling hassles. But if they're good, I guess it's all worth it.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Cowboys play 5 primetime games a year, whether they're good or not, for the most part.
That's because they're a brand.
And exactly. Listen, they've won 12 games in each of the last 3 regular seasons, so we can't say that they're a bad brand or a bad team or anything like that. But I will say this from a, you know, I'm still recovering from Monday night, because all of our work that we all do during the week, you know, watching the game back multiple times, this, that, and the other thing, studying, analyzing, analytics, this all gets, you know, accelerated or pushed back by a day and a half sometimes when you play on Monday Night Football. And while you say, I'm glad that they're back on, you know, that they went to the West Coast, obviously that was the smart, prudent thing to do. And they've been planning that for weeks, whether they were good, bad, not, whatever. They were planning on that. But I will say this. I know the NFL has got an incredible jigsaw puzzle to figure out when it comes to the schedule. I got it. They've just got to stop screwing teams. And it's not only the Commanders. The New York Jets got bent over.
The Jets have had it.
And telephone pulled up their rear end by the NFL. 3 games in 11 days, including a West Coast trip. And back, like, basically, they did the reverse of what the NFL just did to the Commanders. The Commanders went from Washington or Northern Virginia to Cincinnati and then on to Phoenix. The Jets flew out to San Francisco or San Jose. Okay, fine, that happens. Everybody's got to do that. But then they came back, and then they had to go to Nashville 5.5 days later. On short rest already, which is problematic in terms of rest, recovery, injuries.
That's all part of it. This is what happens.
I understand it's a part of it. It doesn't mean I have to like it or accept it.
You look at it as the NFL screwing team.
Of course they are, because the NFL doesn't care.
Yeah, but the NFL,
they just want money.
They want to put their best product out. I mean, it's like flowers being given to you.
I can watch any game that I want. I've got Sunday ticket.
Not everybody has that, though.
I can go to a
sports
bar. It's
like flowers being given to each franchise.
I can watch Red Zone.
I would much rather be in that situation than be in Washington's situation where we get the D-broadcast crew. Whoever the hell was broadcasting Bucks and Broncos on Sunday, good Lord. I'd never heard of them in my life.
Yeah, I mean, Troy Aikman made several mistakes, and Joe Buck made several mistakes the other night.
It's not about the mistakes.
Just because you have like a $20 million each broadcast booth doesn't mean you're going to get a great product.
It doesn't surprise me that you failed to understand the nuance of broadcasting. It's about the sound, Chris. It's about the sound. You can be wrong all day long. If you sound good, I'm gonna listen to you.
If you are
acoustically pleasing. Acoustically pleasing.
I'm gonna go look up during the break.
Acoustically,
because I don't look up things while we're actually having a conversation and get totally distracted and railroad
Matt,
the show
can you
like
look
some
up
others.
Acoustically,
yeah, Matt. Could you? Well, more importantly, could you look up who was driving Linnell crazy and doing the Bucks Broncos game on CBS, I guess it was, last Sunday. Could you look at the broadcast crew for that? Because I didn't think we were going to have to deal with that. But apparently they were not very good. I don't know. I was watching that game. I didn't notice a thing, but I was watching it on my phone. I was watching several games.
By the way, acoustically, I was bouncing around. Acoustically, 100% a word. So.
Oh, acoustically is. Yeah. Acoustically, a pleasing is not.
Clearly, I had a ride of roosters.
You had a brain fart.
I had a rooster.
What you
I
had.
Call those have a yeah, rooster.
Exactly. All right. So before we get into all of that, and again, I disagree. The NFL has put the complete and total screws to the Jets, to the Commanders, and while they haven't done it as bad to the Commanders as they did the Jets, dirty with the back to back road games, one on the West Coast and then a Thursday night game. Well, they haven't done that to the Commanders. In a way, they've made it worse for the Commanders having the West Coast game, the further away game, be on the back end of the two game short week tango on the road. Again, it's something that they used to totally avoid. It's something that they used to avoid, the back-to-back Monday night, early Sunday afternoon road game situation, and yet they did it several times to the Commanders, including 2011. I was there. 2014, I was there. 2016 with Jay, I was there. And I don't know if they've done it since then. I would have to go back and calculate it all. I don't remember everything. But they've done it again, and the NFL is trying their very best to make life difficult for the Washington Commanders, Chris, and recovery for a lot of players, including Austin Ekeler.
Chris.
Including Austin Ekeler. And Cleveland Farrell as well.
It's 114. I'll let you go as long as I can let you go on the scale. You are the only guy in America that gives a rat's ass about the schedule. I don't know what your
I'm the smartest guy in the world.
But you care so much about it. These guys are multi-millionaires.
You're
going to
rip me and say you,
Chris,
and sit here and say that the Buccaneers Broncos broadcast sucked.
Yeah,
so it ruined your enjoyment of the game. Get lost.
The schedule's
not. What do you think's more relevant? Wake up.
The fans.
Smell the coffee.
The Nats,
wake up.
The Nats just scored a run.
Congratulations.
Dylan Cruz got batted in by
Derailing the show.
I derailed the show. I was mad that derailed the show.
Yeah. No. That's you derailing the show.
You open up the show talking about the damn schedule.
It's important.
We just had a massive win on Monday Night
Football.
It's
important.
And you want to open up a throwdown.
And I got to play a game 5 days later on the road in the Pacific time zone against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals.
Matt, you can keep my mic off.
On short rest on the road. And I got to relocate my entire operation to Arizona so that I don't even have a chance to get Cleveland Farrell and Austin Ekeler in the lineup. Ridiculous. And the fact that you don't even think it's even worthy or important is absurd. You and the rest of these numbnuts that go, oh, you're just a whining baby. You're so sensitive, you're so thin-skinned.
That no one has control
over. Oh, how dare you worry about injuries.
You're worrying about something that...
How dare you worry about
things
injuries.
Things that we have no control over. You sit there and
we
fawn
have
over.
No control. They do. That's the point. We criticize
the Commanders
people.
Have no control.
I didn't say the Commanders. The NFL has control.
You know how many damn schedules the NFL's got to make?
I don't care.
Sorry. People
find
are going to get...
Find a way.
Someone's going to get the short end of the stick.
I don't care. Find a way.
That just is what it is.
Sorry, I'm going to fight for the little guy. I'm going to fight for the guy that's wrong.
Yeah, fight for the multi-millionaires.
They screwed the Jets and they're screwing
the
Commanders.
Fight for the multi-billion dollar organizations that are being so inconvenienced.
Anyway.
Crow about something else.
All right, let's go to this.
I didn't want to be nasty to you to start the show, but you're giving me no choice.
As usual, your anger and your frustration
is irresponsible.
I am the Messiah.
That is true. I mean, instead, I'm going to worry about who the freaking Broncos Bucks broadcasters were and whine and cry about that, man. But that's important.
I mean, you already
jumped in the sewer. Not you, Chris, worrying about the team playing 4.5 days later in Tempe, Arizona. That's not important.
Cry about it.
Anyway, let's get into this. So we all know the defense is not very good. Let's start with that, right? Let's establish that as a bottom line fact. Nobody would argue that they're good. Nobody would argue that they're not bad. They're bad. That being said, somehow, some way, they have bent but not completely broken at times in the last two wins, i.e. against the Giants. They bent and sometimes broke, but didn't completely break and only allowed 18 points. The other night, they allowed 33 points. They broke a lot. Don't get me wrong. They broke a lot against a high-powered juggernaut offense that was desperate, that was a caged animal, and ready to pounce. And they pounced right away. But they also bent a couple of times and did not break. That being said, while the defense, I think, is a little bit better than all the stupid analytics and all of the hot take opinions are. Let me get through this point, and then you can comment. While the defense is better than I think all of the nonsense and the hot button bluster is, and fire everybody, and the worst defense ever created by mankind, and blah 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 blah. I will say this clearly, and going against Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison Jr. Connor, the running back, they have the potential to give up 30 plus points every single game. And that's not, of course, a good reality that you want to deal with. But the question that I think for our audience that we wanted to toss around, because we can't just ask, hey, is the defense good or bad? I mean, obviously they're bad. Everybody knows that. Is the front seven more of the problem than the back end? Meaning all defensive backs, corners, nickel, safeties, and even if you want to throw in, okay, sometimes linebackers are partially responsible for coverage depending on route, depending on situation, what have you. But for the most part, basically the question is, the front seven, which I don't know of any way you can label it or paint it as being anything other than disappointing so far, and mostly because of Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. But others, is the front seven more of a problem than the corners and the safeties on this team?
This is what's so baffling about how they find ways to be horrendous on that side of the ball. If you would have said this to me in July, I would have called you names. I would have said you don't know what you're talking about. 100%. The front seven is way more of an issue to me than the back end right now.
Why?
They can't stop the run. They're not tackling. They don't run fit. They can't get after the opposing team's quarterback. The main defensive principle that any good defensive coordinator would get across to his guys from day one is stopping the run. They can't do it. It's not important to them. It's an afterthought. And based on the way the schedule looks, you better get your run woes fixed soon, or else you're not going to have a shot in some of these games. Not that you're not going to have a shot, but it's going to be really difficult to win. You're going to continue to ask your offense to be perfect, which is not sustainable. Asking them not to punt for two damn straight games is ridiculous. It's great that they're doing it, but they should be blowing teams out of the water if that's the case. Their defense can't stop anything. And I'm more so hot under the collar about the defense because I think we said this from the get-go in the spring. Offensively, I thought they would be better than the defense right out the chute because I think talent-wise, Jayden Daniels is the X factor, and I think he makes things run for them offensively, which has been true the first 3 weeks. On defense, I knew you wouldn't be perfect. I knew you had woes in the secondary. I knew tackling would be a problem the first month. That's just with every team across the NFL. But to sit here and ask me to be tolerant of our two highest paid defenders not doing diddly squat, you have the wrong guy. You can say I'm over-exaggerating. You can say they're being double-teamed. I'm not the guy to go and pull punches for guys that have so much to say to the media, for guys that act entitled almost. They get angry on social media. They tweet things like, oh, you ride with me now. Don't ride with me later. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up and play. That's it. Every good defensive lineman gets double-teamed across the National Football League, yet ours can't make plays as a result. I'm fed up with them.
All right, so the question is, I think you know the answer from Linnell. Is the front seven's more of the problem than the back end? The question for you at 301-230-0980, is the front end or the back end worse? Which one is more of a nightmare for the Washington Commanders? I'll give you my answer coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us on a Throwdown Thursday in the nation's capital and beyond. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 is the way you get in on the phones, or you want to tweet, or on the X, at WrestleMania621, at Nell_BTP. I think we all know what that stands for. At Mr._Me93 for Matty Ice, and the radio station at Team 980. At Team 980, there we go. All right, so we wanted to discuss what the bigger problem on defense is, right? And we separated it into two tiers or two groups because, I mean, you can combine and you could do hybrid stuff and whatever, but just to make it simple for the argument, is the front seven the bigger concern, the bigger problem right now as opposed to the secondary, right, defensive back group? And you clearly are, and you're not wrong, very upset at Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne for a lot of different reasons.
I'm not upset. I want guys need to be held accountable, man. It's the first year of a rebuild, and the two guys that you were counting on the most defensively are giving you diddly squat, and no one's talking about it because we're all drooling.
What do you mean no one's talking about it?
Not no one's talking about it, but the story this week is Jaden Daniels, and rightfully so because he played his ass off Monday night.
Well, that's why we waited until Thursday.
My bigger concern and my bigger problem is that those two in the middle are all bark, no bite. They're too big. It's so funny. Guys are so worried about Instagram and Twitter and posting their fits with cool rap lyrics in the background. Rush the damn passer. No one gives a crap about your Louis Vuitton jumpsuit, Daron Payne.
Wait a second.
Play football. They want to do everything but play football. Tim Settle has more pass rush wins than Daron Payne.
All right,
that's embarrassing.
Okay, let me just ask this. You got all over my case for caring that the NFL was screwing the Commanders on the schedule, which they've done several times throughout the years. Plenty of times throughout the years, and they're doing again now, and you're upset at me for caring about that or even bringing it up. Yet, in the same back-to-back segments, you brought up who was the D team on CBS who was doing the Bucks-Broncos broadcast that nobody cares about and has absolutely no impact on anything. And then in the next segment, you're doing a dissertation on Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen being so crappy, and you're not wrong. And then you're talking about Louis Vuitton bags and what they're doing on social media. You want to talk about insignificant? That's largely insignificant.
It's all about
judge everybody by social media.
It's the mentality and the mindset. They're worried about what they look like on social media.
How many players and how many teams aren't? I mean, everywhere the fashion thing is just swarming us.
I get annoyed at Daron because Daron win, lose, draw.
Yeah, because he doesn't care.
Gotta post his outfit on social media.
Because he doesn't care. When you're getting paid $20 million a year, why would you care?
He's got to subliminally tweet about the fans that are rightfully questioning his lack of production through the first 3 weeks. I don't have that's
you being a never-ending supporter of jock straps and those that wear them. Okay, you who thinks everybody should get paid $50 million a year, regardless of whether there's money to do it or not.
You're just no problem
with people getting paid up the wazoo, regardless of their production or not.
Oh my god!
Then you're worried about Louis Vuitton bags, and subliminal messages. I mean, let's worry about what's important.
Chris,
let's worry about what is crucial.
Chris,
let's worry about what is.
I am exuding
controllable.
I am exuding extremes amount of patience with you today. I am because you're missing the point. It's all a part of the bigger picture to me with those two in particular.
Right.
Their egos are the size of the DMV. Their egos are
calling the kettle black.
Their egos are massive, and it gets in the way of their performance on the field because their ass can't stay in their damn gap. They're the main culprits hopping out of gaps. Your two highest paid players can't follow the simple damn instructions of the defense and is blowing the integrity everywhere else. They're the problem.
I don't disagree with you.
That's my point.
I don't disagree with you. But the fact that you made about Louis Vuitton bags.
Because it's me all the time with those dudes. That's all they care about. They can't even – Deron Payne won't even pick John Allen.
That's what 80% of the league cares about.
You are not listening. When you watch them play, do they play in tandem or do they play as individuals?
They play as individuals.
That's the problem.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's not. Everybody wants to be a damn hero. It's sickening. And it pisses me off because if you're a coach that's going to go around and with your big stick and talk about how people are arriving violently and playing fast and all this, where is the accountability? If guys are going to hop out of their damn gap, you got two badass second rounders that sit on your bench and Johnny Newton and Phil Mathis, play them. I cannot watch. And anybody out there that has played on a team and played competitively on a team understands where I'm coming from. If I was Dorrance Armstrong, I want to go upside Deron Payne's damn head. Rush with gap integrity so we can make plays and get off the damn field on third down. All it's right. Selfish. That's my problem. You're trying to build a culture. You're trying to set a standard, and your two highest paid guys on defense are the most selfish guys on the team.
So you just want to bench them after three games?
They shouldn't be playing 80% of the snaps.
I agree with you on that. I just don't know if you can bench them.
I get so impassioned about it because it's been the same thing every year outside of 2022. It's been the same crap with those two, and we make excuses after excuses. They want to be heroes. This is a one gap. Everybody's got a gap defense. If your ass hops out of the gap, the integrity of the defense is screwed. And for their two highest paid players to not be held accountable in that fashion, I have a problem with that.
All right. I still have not given my answer as to the bigger concern, bigger problem on the Commanders' defense. What about you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get to you on the other side of a first trending alert on the afternoon. All right, let's get it going here. The Nationals are indeed in action, and for the first time since Saturday, a span of 31 innings, the Nationals, yes, they do have a run tied with the Kansas City Royals, who are looking for the sweep at 1-1 after 2 down here in the Navy Yard. Meanwhile, tonight on Thursday Night Football, it is a huge one in the NFC East between the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys, losers of two straight at home, but winners of their only road game this year in Cleveland. Tonight they visit MetLife Stadium and the 1-2 New York Giants, who won their first game in Cleveland just a couple of days ago. Should be a good one. 8:15 Eastern time for the kick on Thursday Night Football, and we will have that for you. Pregame joined in progress at 8 o'clock right after Talking Terps with Mike Locksley as we look at the Maryland Terrapins football program. Meanwhile, Derrick Rose retiring after a 16-year star-driven and injury-laden career. Former MVP just a couple of years in, announcing his decision on social media this morning at the age of 35. And that's what's trending. All right, as the front seven, which includes more, believe it or not, more players than Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, a bigger problem than the back end. Everyone all offseason long was so worried, so paranoid, so correct about their lack of talent at corner. I was a little bit more optimistic, hoping that Emmanuel Forbes would take a big step forward. He did not, and then he got injured. We'll see what he does this Sunday. How much can you expect? Benjamin St. Juste, I think, has been pretty good. Did give up the touchdown the other night. Was very good against the Giants. Not maybe as lights out against the Bengals, but he was pretty solid.
Well,
absolutely. Jeremy Chinn took a big step forward. I thought Quan Martin played reasonably well. Percy Butler, didn't get over on the first touchdown. Whatever. We can nitpick and what have you. The second, and Mikey Sanders leads the NFL in touchdowns allowed at 4. Again, that's been an issue, but he's played inside, outside as a rookie. There are lots of problems in the secondary. I think we all know that. And that's where I'm at right here. I'm going to say the bigger problem is the back end because there's a lack of talent. There's a lack of options. Whereas in the front seven, Chris, while they are more disappointing, it's based on expectations and based on the amount of money invested, but they have talent. And I expect, I hope, I think, I'm praying that they will get better. And I think I saw some signs of life out of the pass rush and out of Dorrance Armstrong and out of Dante Fowler.
Look at where all the money is allocated defensively, Chris.
I understand that, but not a lot is allocated to them. I would have felt better. I would have felt better if John Allen and Deron Payne. Like I saw
Chris,
Jonathan
it's
Allen
the whole front seven. To
no,
me,
I know, but I'm saying at least they got a little something.
You're good.
A little something out of the defensive ends. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, your guy.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would say.
Jean,
if you're talking big picture. You're getting contributions from all seven of your draft picks, except for McGee and Hampton to this point. But Hampton's playing teams. McGee, when he comes back, I anticipate takes Michael Walker's snaps that he plays on defense. But that's my thing. I can live with a guy not having talent and getting beat. I can't live with a guy having all the talent in the world and putting his middle finger up to the rest of his teammates saying, I'm not going to play in my gap because I want to make a play because I want to be a hero. I'm tired of that crap, especially at this point in the rebuild. I'll draw a parallel in terms of rebuilds since that's what all we do here in the DMV because our teams suck. No, I'm on one. I am. Mike Rizzo and the Nats. Davey Martinez and the Nats made the decision to suspend C.J. Abrams. Why? Because they're at a pivotal point in their rebuild where they're getting ready to turn the corner and expected to compete for the damn National League wild card next year, for the division next year. So you can't have any guys walking around that ballpark thinking they're bigger than the team. That's the problem.
That's fair.
That goes on right now in Washington defensively.
That's fair.
I put it all on Deron Payne and John Allen.
Do you think everybody worries about some of the semantic stuff that you're pointing out? From the fan base, meaning I know the coaches obviously do. From the fan, or do you think they worry more about just the lack of production? Meaning, could Deron Payne like fancy cars and fancy outfits and do stupid media posts if he had 3 sacks right now?
I think they're worried about the production. And Joe Witt, I mean, I God bless him. He's gonna tell it how a T.I. is. If he is one more embarrassing defensive performance away from getting up on the podium and calling people out by name.
I think that's
the type of dude that he is.
Maybe they need it.
He was asked, rather, about John and Deron. And he said, yeah, they're like the rest of our defense. They haven't played good enough.
Right. But you know the problem. Once coaches start individually calling people out, right, and pointing the finger individually, the media then blows it up even bigger. And
tough
then it becomes a huge problem inside the building,
inside the locker room,
what have you. You know?
Tough cookie.
All right.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. My grandmother once told me, the more you cry, the less you'll piss.
You can say it. I mean, nothing wrong with that. 301-230-0980.
That's my frustration. How the hell do you have it in your heart of hearts?
Actually, Grandma had a good one there. I like that.
Seriously, the more you cry, water's coming out some way.
The more Diet Mountain Dew I drink today, the more I'm going to...
Somebody clip that off. The more
exactly. 301-230-0980. We have 8 lines full, so why don't we
get
to them?
We'll stop blabbing.
Yeah,
but
and why don't we hit them up, starting with Kurt. Kurt, not Kirk. Kurtz
Kurt,
in Hagerstown
Kurt,
on the Team 980.
Kurt.
Man, the youngest in charge is absolutely right. I'm going to tell you right now.
He's on a bender today.
On the Kevin... I called John on the Kevin Sheehan show week one. I thought he missed 2 sacks overrunning Mayfield, you know, not working together with Payne, you know, getting the pressure. He really just had to sit where he was supposed to be at, and Mayfield would have came right to him. But here's my problem, and what I told the producer who took my call, I was looking more forward to a positionless defense. I'm looking for, like, putting 2 people together, like, for example, Saren Steele and Quan Martin on one side, having them work on the best receiver over there and putting St. Juice and Butler on the other side, working on that guy, having Defoe back in the mix, doing a deep safety position. Chin is a wheel linebacker.
Yeah.
He needs to be the third guy coming in on the rotation. And I want to see more of those college-type defenses with 3-3-5 and the 4-2, the 4-2-5 situations. And kind of, you know what I'm saying, get back in the mix with splitting the field in half and having them you take this side and we take that side, you know, and work together. Like just like Lionel said, man, he's right on the money. You know, get the name on the back of your jersey. It's that W on the helmet.
But here's the one thing I would say though about playing those types of defenses. You need your front four to rush in unison and play with gap discipline to get pressure in order for your speed to be able to showcase itself, man. That's my old thing.
Here's my problem, but that's
when you get the speed on the outside, and if you're worried about the run, that's where you get that second round draft pick and get him involved with Payne and Allen, man. If those three guys,
I think we can all be reasonable and say as they go along, they're going to be able to do more creative things. We started talking about that last week.
I play linebacker, man, and my best games were when my defensive linemen were keeping me clean.
I understand.
Ken should be making a lot of tackles. He should be kind of like, you know, roaming the field trying to get off of, not even be blocked, because
you know
our guys in the middle are just eating up the offensive line.
They don't care about that. They want to make the tackle every damn play. That's their problem.
And that's right, man. And they need to get off of that, man. They need to say, you know, I got 0-1 on each side, on both sides of the center, and Allen's over top of the tackle with Payne on the other side over top of that tackle, saying, you know what, Come at me with that run. We got 3 D linemen. You telling me you can't come up with exotic blitz packages from safeties and corners when you only got 3 defensive linemen?
Well, that was my whole game plan the other night going in, and they didn't do it once.
Nope.
They didn't do it once. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. I love the passion.
But I think the reason they didn't do it on Monday night, though,
because they didn't want to get further exposed.
They had a clear game plan. It was bend but don't break. They were going to let them move the ball.
But they broke a lot, was my point originally to start the show, right? Because we talked about it yesterday, on air, off the air, whatever. I mean, they rotated on the first day. I always want to call him AJ Green. I always want to call on the first Jamar Chase touchdown. They had 2 deep safeties, and then they rotated Chin down, and they left Butler as the single high, and then Butler didn't cheat over. Yeah. And here's the problem: if we want to separate what he was saying, and shade safeties over the top, right, and have them maybe aligned on the hashes to help, and so on and so forth. Well, then you leave the middle even more exposed.
Well, they're so worried about disguising stuff. Joe Witt said that they were going to dumb things down. They need to, because that would allow them to play faster. If you're going to come out and if guys are not going to be rotating on time and rotating late, like you can't play that style. You're going to get burned. I would rather me know what coverage I'm in, have the offense know, and then I'm able to keep everything in front and come up and make tackles. Mm-hmm. That's what they – with the personnel that they got, that should be their game plan defensively. Be aggressive inside of the 20s when teams get into the red zone. But outside of that, like, I'm at the point right now where I think the personnel is not changing. I'd let teams dink and dunk me all the way from 20 to 20. And then when we get inside the 20s, I'm pulling out my exotic blitz packages. When I get into my third down and long,
that's what a lot of defenses do. My
blitz packages.
Yeah, that's what a lot of defenses do. The problem is you have to – if you're going to dink and dunk and allow, you can't have any –
You have
to tackle better, which I think they tackled a little bit better
the
other night. I think they were a little bit more physical. But if you're going to allow teams to dink and dunk and operate that, well, then you can't have the over-the-top shots a couple of times a game that are successful. Maybe you can get away with it once. You can't have the constant over-the-top shots, which we saw a lot of last year, obviously. Yeah. And we saw a couple, just on Monday night. All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Take a quick time out so we stay on schedule. Dr. Sabal will be up next in the 2-hole. We'll get her in. We'll get you in. 301-230-0980. We'll continue to rock and roll. Bigger problem on the defense, front 7 or the back end on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. All right, let me give you some numbers here on why I agree with your premise overall that the front 7 is the bigger problem right now than the back end, but I have more confidence moving forward in the front 7 than they do the back end, because there's just more talent and there's more options, not to mention, obviously, front 7, duh, there's more players. Although when you start to factor in Forbes coming back this week, Noe Igbinoghene, Benjamin St. Juice, Mikey Sanra still, that's 4. Who else am I forgetting about? You know, and then all the safeties. This team took 18,000 different safeties. You know, you got some guys on the back end too. But just using PFF, right? Whatever you think about PFF, through three games. Some guys haven't played three games. Some guys have played less. The highest graded players on defense for this team. Bobby Wagner, overall number one, a 76 out of 100. Now, poor in coverage, right? Or poor, not good enough in coverage. Jamin Davis, through two games, is the number two defender, right? We all know he's position changed. Mykel Walker has, you know, played okay. Daron Payne, for as much as we've complained, and rightfully so, is graded out as the number four player on defense for the Washington Commanders, cumulative.
I can care less.
Just pointing it out. It's just data. It's just people that watch the game very, very, very closely. I don't know where they're coming up with all these numbers, but that's just the deal. Daron Payne, number four. So the top four guys are in the front seven, right? And that's before you even get to Armstrong, who we saw with a drive-by half sack the other night. Jonathan Allen, who was out there running around chasing Joe Burrow and not even close. That's before we get to Javonte Jean-Baptiste. I'm going to constantly. I think Frankie Louvu has maybe not been as impactful as we were hoping, but you see one or two flashes a game of Frankie Louvu, and you're like, eh. Like he had a pass knockdown, pass deflection the other night, and you start to think, okay, if they can just get everybody on track, this front seven can kick ass. If, and it's a big if, they can get everybody on track. Let's get to Dr. Sabah here real quickly and get her in and aboard on the show, Graham. What's up, Doc? How are you?
Hey, guys. Wait a minute. Did you have my name and quickly in the same sentence?
Well, that is true. That is true. That's a fair point, Doc. Thank you.
Hey, this is the one time I got to agree with Linnell.
The one time.
This is begrudgingly,
Doc is going to agree with Linnell.
Well, you know, Chris, you're my favorite, so
yes,
I don't want to feel like I'm cheating on you with Linnell.
I appreciate that.
Okay, so here's my reasoning, okay? So I think that, to me, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm like just blitzing every down. Just blitz, because I want to just get the quarterback uncomfortable. I want to cut it off at the head. It's almost like in basketball, if you got a really good point guard, I like to trap him and pressure the ball. And that way you don't have to sit back in the lane and wait till the guy gets it in the post. I don't want to sit back and wait, because what happens is if you have a bad play by a quarterback, like a bad throw and underthrows, 9 times out of 10, they're going to call pass interference on you if they throw a nice one in the middle and you hit the guy bang, bang. 9 times out of 10, you get a penalty. It's against the defense. Whereas when you rush in the passer, the rules will more favor the defense besides, obviously, the late hit. But, you know, you can get a holding call. You can get the chip block, whatever they call, the block where you go high and low. You can get, like, a man downfield. There's other things that you can do that helps, to me, your defense be better. So I vote for upgrading the front seven, particularly the defensive line, because after I saw that Kirk Cousins game against Pittsburgh Steelers, T.J. Watt, that is what we need, somebody like that. One guy actually ruined the whole game for Atlanta.
Yeah, game
and
wreckers.
If you just have a guy like that, right.
Yeah, but our guys in the middle are paid to be, but they don't sniff it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so that's my vote. I don't want to kind of shore up the back end. I want to shore up the front end, and then I want to use them and harass to death the offensive lineman and the quarterback. And then can I chime in on the Caitlin Clark situation?
Yeah, real quick.
And real quick, I'm so upset with the WNBA how they treated her. They fouled her big time last night on a three, could have hurt her. And then she was going to the basket, and they just kept roughing her up, and they don't understand. People like me who love basketball and women's basketball, I will not be watching. They had 1.8 million people watch on Sunday during NFL. So now my attention is going to be 100% on the NFL. So I'll be more knowledgeable caller from now on, because I was kind of a little ignoring NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So because WNBA's over, because it's over for me, I will not be watching.
I'm with you on that, Doctor. I appreciate you as always. Here's the deal. It just seems like some of the old guard of the WNBA just bitter and jealous about all the exposure she's bringing. And theoretically, yes, she benefits from the exposure most notably, but the whole league benefits from the exposure that she brought. 301-230, we're going to have to obviously talk about that stuff another time. Now's not the right time. Maddie, do we have time for one more? No, take the time out. All right, why don't we take the time out here, and then we'll come back with a nice long segment of phone calls, and we'll get you guys all in. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll stay on this for a little bit longer, and then we'll bounce around and get into some other things. We still have Nell Super Six Pack. The most creative, the most original, the most revolutionary sports radio segment. It's never been done before. Nell's Super Six Pack coming up. Six teams ranked 1 through 6 in the National Football League, and a Thursday night preview as well. Oh, and the Nats are just scoring runs by the bunches, baby. They are breaking out the big whooping sticks, man. Holy moly. What is this, offense? What is that? What does that look like on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app?